Well, as we've just heard, Republicans, at least in one corner of Iowa, are sticking with President Trump, even with those historically low approval ratings. Poor approval in politics doesn't mean much if the other party can't capitalize. And 6 months into the Trump administration, Americans don't think that the Democratic Party is doing much of a good job. According to an ABC News and Washington Post poll out over the weekend, only 37% of Americans say the Democratic Party stands for something. 52% say it just stands against Trump. Reporters recently asked House Democratic Caucus Chairman Joe Crowley of New York about those numbers. His answer, quote, "That message is being worked on." Joining me now to talk about that message and the Democratic Party and where it's headed are Bryce Covert. She's contributing op-ed writer at the New York Times and a contributor to The New Republic and The Nation. And also Sean McElwee, policy analyst at Demos Action. That's a progressive think tank. Bryce and Sean, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Well, you just heard Robert Leonard there from Iowa. His view was that a lot of Christians across Iowa, forget about Marion County, you're not going to win there, but Barack Obama won Iowa twice. He says that Christians in Iowa think Democrats have nothing to say to them and that they're not Christ-like. Bryce, what do you think about that message?
I think Democrats right now are focused a lot on opposition to Trump, and that makes sense in many ways. And it also takes some work, some coalition building. You know, Democrats don't necessarily all get on board together and decide to stand against their president. But they now need to get a little bit faster at coming up with that message that they're still working on and making sure that they have something big and bold to stand for.
Big and bold. Sean, the resist movement after the election. There were people in the streets. During the travel ban, they were in the airports, they were marching in Washington, we all saw them, calling senators as healthcare falters. Anti-Trump attitudes have enormous energy, and yet that poll I just cited, they're losing special elections in Georgia and Kansas and Montana, especially in Georgia where it was a huge loss. What's going on? Why this disconnect?
I think the thing you need to start off with is what drives Republican success. And what drives Republican success is that there is a group of people who are white evangelicals. They make about a quarter of the electorate, and they show up all the time in every election. And the Democrats have a lot more trouble mobilizing their base to show up in a lot of crucial elections. In the last midterm, 17% of people 18 to 24 voted. And if that is the number in 2018, I'd be very worried for the Democratic Party.
Okay. But Bryce, look at that energy in the streets that I just described, and we've all seen it. You would see those people marching. You'd see them in airports. You'd see people going crazy about Russia and things that aren't true and Donald Trump. And you'd think, boy, the Democrats are charged up to really stick it to him in the next election, and the numbers do not show that.
I think there is a lot of energy, but I don't think you can get people to turn out in a midterm election against something if you have nothing to offer them that you're for. You know, Democrats do have a really hard time getting people out in midterms, and Republicans have a little less of a hard time just standing against things and saying, come out and vote against them. Democrats need to be for something to harness the people who are in the streets.
Let's talk about 2018, because you just described a minute ago how important it is to not be necessarily against something, but find something to be for. Now, Bryce, you say that Democrats need to have a very specific and big jobs message, a job for everyone, right?
Yeah. If you watch Trump speeches during the campaign, one of his most consistent themes was jobs. And what he said was, I'm not going to have this complicated jobs plan or tax relief. He said, I am going to give you a job. If you lose your job, I'll give one back to you. If you want a better job, I will give you good jobs. It's something that Americans crave. And he used very simple language. Hillary Clinton offered much more complex tax relief, infrastructure investment. A jobs guarantee program or a public jobs program, which guarantees anyone who wants one voluntarily doing necessary tasks in their community, can deliver what Trump was promising in a very simplistic, straightforward way, but it actually backs it up with some policy so that it's not an empty promise.
This is a new deal. You're advocating for a return to FDR-style politics, big government works programs that guarantee jobs no matter what the economy does.
Exactly. And it actually helps people who don't necessarily want to change jobs as well. You know, wages have been stagnant for decades. Benefits are eroding. Very few people get, for example, paid leave, paid vacation. Jobs have deteriorated in America. This is a way to make sure that workers have more power vis-a-vis their bosses. Even if they like their job, you have more ability to say, hey, I deserve a raise. I deserve some paid leave this year. If you know that your boss can't just turn around and fire you and hire someone who's just begging for a job outside the door, it gives you a better negotiating spot.
Sean McElwee, you point to the states where Democrats have been absolutely decimated. We've talked on this show about the 1,000 total state legislative and national seats that Democrats have lost. And you say this is really a grassroots problem. We're talking about 2018, and I know you care about that, but you think that Democrats have to get to work on a deeper level.
Oh, absolutely. The House and the Senate are really going to be decided by Trump's popularity, by the state of the economy. Where we're seeing a lot of troubles in the states, we are not seeing strong challengers, for example, against Walker in Wisconsin. And we're not seeing really aggressive primaries in Ohio. And if you are not taking power at the states, you're going to have trouble over the long term, because that means that Republicans can use their state level power to suppress votes. They can use that to open the floodgates of money to politics and crush unions. And that's going to make it even harder for the Democrats to really mobilize their base over the long term.
Democrats have a traditional strong showing among young voters. They still have that, but their young voters are divided.
Absolutely. And in a lot of cases, their young voters are not showing up. And part of that is because young voters are not seeing Democrats embracing policies that would be good for them. Democrats are still wedded to the sort of 90s era, big government is over. And what we're seeing now is people actually want the government to do more in their lives. The Demos polling suggests that people are interested in the government being more aggressive in job security, in child care. And I think if Democrats really embrace that message and tell people, we will make your lives better, people will go for that.
There is a reality within the Democratic Party that we all watched over the last 18 months. Bernie Democrats versus Hillary Democrats. It's one thing to say that they need to do more to get young voters, but there was a war in this party.
Here's what I'd say. In 2016, Trump was treated as though he was not a Republican, and that he was sort of allowed to run as unique. And the reality is Republicans are quite unpopular. Treat Trump like a Republican, treat the Republican Party like what it is, a plutocratic party, and run against it in that way.
Okay, but what about Bernie Democrats and Hillary Democrats, especially among young voters? You had a huge divide there. Has it been repaired? Is it being repaired? Is there a way to repair it?
I would say that the Democratic Party has really embraced sort of means testing. And the problem with the idea of sort of cutting the populace into different groups, which some of them get benefits and some of them don't, is that you lose the broad base support that really makes these benefits sort of entrenched and very difficult to repeal. And I think that if you have universalistic programs, you will get everyone from young voters to people who tend to be middle income but still are struggling with childcare. It's not cheap.
I also think that that means you can talk about it in an easier way. If you say, we are for health care for everyone, we are for a free or affordable college education, child care that everyone can afford and access, a job for everybody, those are easy to grasp, and Democrats can actually promise policies on them. If you say, I'm going to offer some tax tweaks, voters may not know what you're talking about.
Meanwhile, Bryce, you know, the Trump effect doesn't just affect Republicans, right? I have Democratic senators all the time talk to me when I'm on the Hill. They are forced to react to the white hot media environment. They're forced to comment on the latest outrage. And senators say, don't talk about this stuff, healthcare, healthcare, healthcare. And it's really hard to do.
I think that you can do both. I mean, right now we're watching this enormous healthcare debate. Readers and voters want to hear about it. And Democrats can say both, we are against what Republicans stand for with their Affordable Care Act repeal, but we are also for this. We're not just going to say, don't support this bill. We're going to say, here's what we would do to make it better for people who are struggling on the ACA.
Sean, how much time do Democrats have to get this together? 2018 is coming.
The primaries are just starting. And I'd like to note that Democrats control their paid media. And if you look at the Ossoff campaign, they were not running.
You're talking about Georgia.
Trump. Yeah. They are not running against Trump. They are not running on health care. And that is something that they determined.
The question of whether Democrats can formulate a cohesive message in the era of Donald Trump. Sean McElwee, policy analyst at Demos Action, and Bryce Covert, contributing op-ed writer for The New York Times and others. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Now, we've been hearing from you. Where do Republicans and Democrats stand?
My name is Emily Hayes. I'm calling from Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm a heavily involved Democrat in my community at the local level, and I'm not happy with the message that our national party is putting forward. The Democrats are currently positioning themselves as the anti-Trump party, but we need to stand for more than that. We must articulate our vision for the country in a concise and engaging way and let voters know that we stand for things and not just against them.
This is Larry from Staten Island. I know the Dems progressives have a voice, but it's unheard within the clatter of criticism for Republicans and the president. The Dem progressive message must be one of collaboration and ideas put into the public conversation. The good of the country is at stake.
Whether you're on the right or you're on the left, give us your take at 8778MYTAKE. You can always tweet us at The Takeaway, and you can leave a comment on our website at thetakeaway.org.